You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. Take your shoes off, put your feet up, and relax on my couch, because today I have a lot of great things I'm going to be talking about, many different subjects, and also a special guest who is featured in a film that I recently saw called Finding Happiness, right? Something we all want to find in our lives. We'll be talking to her in just a little bit. Also, I'm going to answer some of your questions that you've written in to me, maybe help you out with relationships, give you some ideas about how to have healthier communication with your partners or even friends for that matter. You know, I have a lot of people who come in to see me and say, you know, I can't seem to keep friends. Nobody's nice these days. It's really difficult. Well, do you think maybe it's you? Do you think maybe you have some characteristics in your personality that kind of push people away? And also, I'm going to be talking about some of the things going on in the news that have to do with psychology. Namely, what's going on with Catherine Zeta-Jones? I know a lot of you people out there are not following the stars. But this week she made news by talking about her bipolar disorder, how she was going back into a clinic to kind of get her head squared away. That's a hell of a disorder. A chemical imbalance with bipolar disorder is very tough to deal with. So I'll be talking about that, and also the psychology of an NBA star. What do they all have in common? What do you think that is, guys? Let's get into some relationship stuff first off here. You know, one of the most common complaints I hear from single men and women in therapy is, why can't I find the right person? You know, they share these stories with me about these horrible dates that they've had and these terrible relationship experiences. Oh, so many of my single clients come in of all ages. I mean, we're talking, you know, 20-somethings to 60-somethings, 70-somethings. And they're worried that they're never going to find anyone. And what I say is, and I know this sounds a little weird, but having bad relationship experiences can be good. It can be good. Well, they hurt sometimes, especially when we, you know, after being single for a while, give our hearts to someone and then they're stomped on. But by finding bad relationships sometimes, we learn more exactly which qualities we don't want in a partner. So it's really important to find out what we do want in a partner. So what I suggest to a lot of people is to write down thoughts and seeing the words in front of you and how they can make clearer choices. Like jotting down a word or, you know, what you consider to be the most important qualities you must have in a partner, like deal breakers. For instance, you know, if appearance is really important to you, kind of shallow. No, I'm kidding. No, we all have to be attracted to partners. That's part of the whole thing. But if appearance is really important, then write it down. Okay? Because if you're not really attracted to someone who's wonderful, but are constantly trying to overlook that, it's usually not a good match. I had a client come in last week who said, I've met this man. He's wonderful. He's loving. We have the same in common. We just have such a blast. His personality's great. But he's really hard to look at. I went, well, okay. So you want to be with someone who's really hard to look at for a while. So, I mean, you know, you got to be like writing down and just affirming the deal breakers or the negative qualities that you know will really not work for you in a long-term relationship. And I'm not saying it has to be the way someone looks, but I mean, that's just an idea or a suggestion. And also, I want you to write down some of the qualities you're willing to overlook. So I tell these people you might be willing to be with someone who you are somewhat attracted to if they have a great sense of humor, if that's important to you, or they like to do a lot of things you like to do, or they're really straightforward and they're verbally savvy. They like to talk, or they're okay and willing to share some thoughts and things like that. So, you know, we have to also be aware of other really important personality traits and behavior styles that make us even better partners. So it's always good to think that, you know, certain types of qualities have longer, happier, and healthy relationships. And one of these qualities, too, that I just mentioned briefly earlier, but is, you know, to find someone who's a little more emotionally open. You know, because if a partner can't identify and share their feelings with you, then they're probably not ready to be in an intimate relationship. You know, healthy relationships are where two people can show us their love and trust us and try to be open and somewhat honest and vulnerable. Okay, I'm not talking about drama queens, but some sort of healthy things. So these are some ideas that I suggest to people in talking about relationships. And by the way, if you'd like more information about some of my relationship advice and expertise, I can send you the link to some of the past interview articles that I have done and also personal columns I've written in the Valley News Group newspapers here, you know, on intimacy and relationships and things like that. I wanted to get to a quickie here about, I had some questions about what's going on with Catherine Zeta-Jones. I have a very, newsworthy audience who likes to listen to what's going on. And, you know, just earlier this week, Catherine Zeta-Jones announced that she entered a mental health facility to try to get treatment for her bipolar disorder again. And people, you know, use that word a lot too loosely these days. Don't you hear people saying, oh, he's so bipolar. She's just bipolar. Well, that's kind of not fair. It's just a catchphrase, and it's real popular to say. But, I mean, people who have bipolar disorder have a more extreme, wave of moods with very extreme ups and downs than say, so-called more stable or normal. I hate to use the word normal, too. So just to clarify what's going on with Catherine Zeta-Jones, is she has bipolar 2, which means that she has different episodes of depression. You know, a lot of us feel very sad or discouraged. She gets way down and depressed. And in terms of manic episodes, that's where, you know, people have a lot of energy. They don't need to sleep. They may do what are called risky behaviors. But people with bipolar 2, like Catherine Zeta-Jones, has more depressive episodes. They call it hypomanic. No, not so high. Not full-blown manic states. You know, you hear about people running naked in the streets. Yeah, well, she's got the less severe kind of mood swings. And so it's very difficult to manage with medication, but you do have to tweak your medication from time to time. And she's aware of that. And she's a brilliant actress and done very well with this. So good for you, girl, for going back into treatment and getting squared away and probably adjusting your meds, because that's the way it is with bipolar. It is a chemical imbalance. So you can't help yourself, especially if you've inherited it. So there you go. I wanted to share this article also with you that I was reading, because I'm always fascinated about people's psyches, not only with people who are successful and how they cope with their illnesses, like Catherine Zeta-Jones, but also what makes people successful. Jared Wade writes some really cool articles about, you know, sports figures. And he wrote an article recently online. It's called The Psychology of an NBA Champion. Just Google that if you're interested. And his conclusion was, this is kind of a no-brainer, but I thought it was kind of cool. Although basketball superstars like Michael Jordan and Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Bill Walton, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they're all different men. But the main driving psychological factor in there being superstars on the court, what is the psychological secret that they all have in common? They need that push to drive them further than most. They're all different. What is it? It's the desire to win. That's it. It's not deep. Okay. But where does that desire to win come from? Where does that competitiveness come from? Testosterone? No, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, this was, you know, he observed all these superstars on the NBA. And, you know, they're all very different, eclectic groups of men. But the deal was, is they all have this need, this desire, this, they sleep it, they eat it, they think it all day long, is I need to win. And hey, whatever you focus your mind on is what you're going to achieve. And that's the way it is, plain and simple. And that's it. I also wanted to talk about another study I was reading about, and I just wanted to cover this too. You know, they talked about, you know, how older people deal with dementia. We get things, we forget things a lot. We start in our 40s. Where's my keys? Right? And then sometimes it gets worse and downhill, and then we see, you know, the difficulty that we're experiencing right now with a lot of Alzheimer's disease, because people are living longer and their brains are not doing so well. But they found out in this study that older adults can keep their memory and thinking skills sharp, according to this huge U.S. study. I mean, 300 and some people. It suggested that if you eat a Mediterranean diet, now what is that? It's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So what are those? It's chicken, fish, olive oil, rich in omega-3 fatty acids. If you eat a lot of those, and you can take supplements too, right? That will keep your brain healthier. Isn't that interesting? They say stay away from meats like red meat and dairy. Those are great for protein occasionally. But supposedly the chicken, the fish, and olive oil, just check out and Google omega-3 fatty acid foods and eat those. And it says it's amazing how much better you're going to do with your mind. And as we get older, we won't be maybe forgetting our keys as much. Who am I? Where am I going? That kind of thing. Today, I'm also talking about a new film entitled Finding Happiness. Have you guys heard about that? Brand new. I saw the one of the premieres of it. The story's about a journalist who makes a life-changing visit to a real-life inspirational community. It's called Ananda. I don't know if you guys have heard of these communities. What happens in the movie, it sort of gives viewers an expanded sense of the possible way that people live in the Ananda community and how they've sort of created this, I would say it's a unique alternative to living the way most people do. Sitting on the freeways, going into the office, 9 to 5. And what was really cool about it is that it showed that a lot of folks can really live in peace. These were real life people living in this particular community in Ananda. It's sort of like a kibbutz, and I mean, sort of that idea. But it's where everything is grown. They make their own houses. They're self-sustaining. A lot of people come in and out of the community. They work out there in the world, but it's pretty much based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. You know, the guy who wrote Autobiography of a Yogi, founded the Self-Realization Institute, all that stuff. And the centers called Ananda were founded by Swami Kriyananda. And this guy really, he practiced the beliefs, and he was a disciple. of Paramahansa Yogananda. So a lot of you guys out there are thinking, ooh, she's going religion on me. Oh, here we go. She's going spiritual and religious on me. Nope. No, I'm not. We're going to be talking about, the thoughts. I always talk about changing thoughts, changing how we think negatively into positively, trying to be more spiritual, getting more of a definition of what is a spiritual life. Not, that you have to sit in meditation om for hours and feel like you're struggling, but how can you truly go within and be happy? I'm always fascinated with that particular subject. I really like to do that. I think that's cool. So we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be also talking to one of the women in the film, whose name is Asha. And she and her husband are spiritual directors of the Ananda Center, which is actually in Palo Alto, which is a really beautiful center as well, right here in California. Asha, by the way, besides being in the film and the spiritual director of the Ananda Palo Alto, is the author of a book about the founder of Ananda. We're going to be talking briefly about him and his philosophies, Swami Kriyananda. And unfortunately, he passed away recently on April 21st. So what I love about those, the film, what we're talking about, entitled Finding Happiness, is a wonderful memorial for him. So we're going to bring her up on the air. Hey, Swami Asha, so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm just delighted to be here.
You were great in that film. I really enjoyed watching you, the way you speak, and especially the part you shared about experiencing the passing of a dear friend and how in your community you all came together and just shared that experience in a loving way. It was a really healthy way, of dealing with passing.
Well, when you live together for a long time, death is inevitable.
Yeah.
I told the story of one woman's passing. But in fact, we've seen, many people through either untimely deaths in some cases when disease comes early, or aged people finishing their life according to what we think of as the more natural lifespan. And part
right.
of a community is birth, life, and death.
Sure.
If you're
is.
Going to live together, you have to be able to face all of it together with joy and friendship.
Oh, is that true? Well, can you share with listeners, and, I'm always fascinated with communities. How can people live together and get along? And, you're in a pretty peaceful place up there.
Uh-huh.
Sitting on the 405 freeway in Los Angeles and going to your city, mid-city office, and, dealing with stressors and all that. It's a difficult way of life. So maybe you can share with the listeners a little bit how the Ananda community that's featured in your film, Finding Happiness, came about.
Well, the Ananda community that's featured mostly in that film mm-hmm. is the original community, and it's rural. It's a rural setting outside Nevada City,
yeah.
California. We have 1,000 acres there. It's not wilderness, but it's definitely out in the country, living close to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, on certain levels, that's less stressful because the environment itself is not as frenetic. On the other level, it's more stressful because you're farther away from resources. You have to work harder to create your way of living. You're more back on your own resources.
Sure.
But the thing about Ananda communities is that we actually have 9 of them. And
wow.
We have 2 in the Delhi area, which talk about, crowded and stressful.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
have one in Los Angeles. I myself live in Palo Alto, which is a kind of nice suburban area, but we're much closer to the way everyone else lives
sure.
than we are way out at Ananda Village.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of the community is certainly that creating a beautiful, supportive environment and living close to nature is beneficial, but the real environment that Ananda is built on is the inner realities that we ourselves can develop by right thinking, by right understanding, mm-hmm. by right action,
mm-hmm.
By yoga and meditation practices.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge amount we can do to control the only thing we can control, which is our state of mind, our state of consciousness.
Boy, is that true. You're so yeah. right. And
when you
talk about right thinking and right action, what specifically do you mean by that, Asha?
Well, we ended up calling the movie Finding Happiness after going through many different titles because we realize that's the unifying thread among all our communities, mm-hmm. and also between our communities, which may seem to people like another way of life, but in fact, everybody's life is really motivated by two realities, which mm-hmm. is the desire to experience happiness, however that's defined, and the desire to get away from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And we may think that these two experiences are more or less the luck of the draw, but that's not really true.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and our attitudes have an enormous effect on our destiny, and I would call right thinking mm-hmm. that which leads to greater happiness and that which enables us to deal more courageously, confidently, and effectively mm-hmm. with the inevitable challenges and difficulties that come into everyone's life.
Wow, is that true? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
One of the things about our community is, yes, in many ways, especially when you see it in the movie, I mean, it's very idyllic. And mm-hmm. in many ways, it is idyllic. But that doesn't mean that it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you make a commitment to really work with your inner consciousness,
yeah.
you're really not taking a shortcut to anywhere. You're actually going right through the heart in the middle of the only journey that's worth making, which is changing ourselves.
Boy, is that true. And I always say, you know, to patients and listeners, is you really can change the world out there if you change yourself and your thoughts and your beliefs and your actions, you know, in a more loving manner. You can affect out there, but you have to really deal with who you are within. Which brings me to a lot of the teachings as well. And, you know, I'm on board with that, Asha, of the Paramahansa Yogananda. And then, of course, you know, Swami Kriyananda, who was his mentor, and not his mentor, his student, but also mm-hmm. became a disciple, as we call it, if we can say that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, further those beliefs. Can you just touch on some of the main beliefs that they expressed for greater happiness and that you all practice in your Ananda communities?
Certainly. Paramhansa Yogananda was one of the first, in fact, he was the first Indian guru to make America his home. Mm. He was almost one of the first ever to come here in recent times, but he came to America in 1920
wow.
and became very, very popular lecturing across the country at a time when no one knew anything about what he was offering in his long hair and his orange robes, and
right.
he spoke English but with a Bengali accent. He was really a phenomenon. He
yeah.
was received at the White House. He was, you know, lectured in all the major cities, had really literally thousands of people come.
Mm.
And the lasting legacy he left to those, because he died in 1952,
mm-hmm.
Was his book, Autobiography of a Yogi.
Yes.
And almost everyone who moves outside the mainstream in any kind of spiritual thinking or self-help usually ends up reading that book.
Mm-hmm.
He planted this powerful seed for change in that book, and whether or not you become his disciple or follower, still that book, he's like the father of the whole movement.
Right.
And I would call that movement, a few things are relevant to it. One is that the presence of the divine is equal in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
No church, no faith, no ritual has any kind of monopoly on it.
Yeah.
In fact, he said emphatically, all true religions have the same underlying reality. They're just different expressions of the same one truth.
That's right.
And that one truth is that the divine lives within us,
mm-hmm.
that by conscious attunement and spiritual practice, we can become more and more aware of that divine presence
mm-hmm.
And more a channel for that divine presence. And the nature of that divine within us is joy.
Yes.
And
yeah.
and that no priest, no ritual, no dogma, no membership,
yeah.
No identification is required. Everyone has a direct relationship. And he essentially came, as we often put it, to put spiritual responsibility
right.
for your own state of consciousness right where it belongs,
mm-hmm.
which is in the hands of every seeker.
Boy, is that true. And even going, you know, therapeutic on everybody here in the audience, you know, there's been so many studies done on the mental and physical benefits of relaxation, of meditation, of sort of going within. Peacefulness, it's basically just finding peace and quiet and just allowing for moments to, if you don't have a higher power even, to connect with, I don't know, just Mother Nature. Just have the peacefulness and quietness within you to still your thoughts. And that is so healing to do, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and people, many people think that they have to, you know, suffer and say, oh, and you know, bring their brain back. And, you know, it's like a torture or something like that. It's like, no, it's not like that at all.
Well, meditation is the foundation practice of our communities.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In the movie Finding Happiness, one of a gentleman who's a physician, Dr. Peter Van Houten, and he makes some extremely interesting statements about meditation and about the brain, quite outside of any religious context.
Right.
As a doctor, he expresses the interesting development in the last few decades, whereas medical science used to believe that the physical brain was a fixed reality.
Mm-hmm.
He said, research is now showing that the physical brain is mutable all through your life,
mm-hmm.
and that in fact the physical brain is constantly shifting,
yes.
the way it works and the way it's actually physically structured to adapt to whatever it is that you are trying to do.
Right.
And the thing about the brain is, in this sense, it's neutral. If you're trying to be depressed, it makes it easier and easier for you to be depressed.
Yes.
If you're trying to uplift your life, it makes it easier and easier for you to uplift it. And the frontal lobe of the brain is the where the highest functions take place.
Yep.
Our relationships, our happiness, our ability to love. And meditation is the most sophisticated and effective way to develop that part of ourselves so that we become, as he puts it, engineered for happiness.
Boy, is that
and
true.
Among the many reasons, and when we think from a spiritual point of view, you were saying not everyone has a higher power. Also in this movie, Swami Kriyananda is interviewed, and the woman interviewing him says, you know, what if people don't believe in God?
Right.
And he said, well, we need to think of God as the highest to which we can aspire.
That's great.
And just think of yourself as wherever you can imagine yourself going.
Mm-hmm.
Because rituals and dogmas and religious definitions are really pasted on from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's our actual experience that we have to work with.
Mm-hmm. And if people do have, you know, religions that they believe in, and all, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. Whatever helps inspire them to, you know, become closer to their divine or Holy Spirit or whatever they want to, you know, believe, that's lovely too, because it's all about the mind and just sort of connecting with who you are and trying to take that time to do so, because we're so preoccupied with, gosh, constant streams of consciousness in this society and making things happen. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Asha.
There's several points there. One is, one develops rituals and ways of doing things. When you come to Ananda, we all tend to practice what Yogananda taught and describes in Autobiography of a Yogi, which is a form of meditation called Kriya Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with it. We have music, chanting, and songs, and just lots of what you might call customs.
Sure.
They're not so much dogmas as customs, because we're banded together in community because we want to help each other in the ways that we think are important, which we talked about, death and life and birth. But our spiritual life, of course, is central to finding happiness as far as we feel, the practice of attunement.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things are really actually quite beneficial in terms of focusing your energy, finding a disciplined way for you to maintain your concentration over, you know, weeks and months and years.
Sure.
The important point is to understand that it's the resulting change in consciousness.
Right.
That is the definition of the spiritual path, not the methods that you use to get there.
Boy, is that true.
All the argument about religion is argument about methods.
Mm-hmm.
And Yogananda said that all religions, you know, have the same underlying truth.
Mm-hmm.
Self-evidently, they don't. Christians believe in Jesus and Jews don't. I mean, you start there.
Mm-hmm.
But both religions are designed to ennoble us, to expand our compassion, to deepen our sense of belonging to a higher reality. And that's where the real unity among all peoples will come in the way of experience, not in the way of outward practices.
Boy, is that true. That is so true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Swami Asha, we call her. She and her husband are the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto here in California, or as they say on Saturday Night Live, California. Asha is also featured in the film Finding Happiness. And, you know, I really enjoyed the film. It's terrific. Maybe just we could interject quickly how people could find out more about seeing the film and where they could, you know, connect with you or other people online.
Okay, well, the movie itself is called Finding Happiness. The website is called findinghappinessthemovie.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have really just completed it, and it'll probably have its release in the fall. There's a website, as I said, Finding Happiness the Movie, mm-hmm. and it'll tell you all about what's going on and where you can find it, where DVDs are available. It's a movie about, it's based on life in our community, or I should say it's drawn from life in our community, but the real purpose of the movie is this, which is that our community started 40 years ago, this movement of Ananda. I started with it 40 mm-hmm. years ago when I was in my early 20s. And what we have actually developed over these years are really workable, viable solutions to much of what ails our society. We got mm-hmm. a little ahead of the curve. In sustainability,
sure.
in meditation, in yoga, in revolutionary education for children, mm-hmm. In interpersonal relationships, in some more expansive, successful ways for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, all of the spiritual practices, but we're right at de-stressing, finding meaning,
yes.
working together, making a sense of community. So the film is like vignettes of little interviews with a whole lot of different people who put out ideas that have been highly developed within Ananda,
mm-hmm.
but are all also highly relevant to people wherever they live.
Boy, is that true. Terrific film, by the way. And the lead, the actress who played the journalist, she's terrific.
Yeah,
she was
Elizabeth Rahm is her name, and she was a beautiful soul, too. One of the reasons I think the movie works. We interspersed. It's a genre that just doesn't exist. It's not exactly a documentary.
Yeah.
It's certainly not fiction,
right.
but we made a fictional character who comes to a real place.
Yes.
And it worked well also because she's a genuine seeker herself, and mm-hmm. her receptivity mm-hmm. to what she discovered as a person, not only as an actress, really creates a unique chemistry in the movie.
What a great, experience for her. I mean, so many actors and actresses go and experience the life or the situations that their character is playing. And boy, she got it full on. She got to learn so much, which was great.
She had a certain background in spirituality already, and her agent called her.
Uh-huh.
Just somehow thinking that somehow something about this film would relate to her, although he couldn't really remember why.
Right.
When the agent mentioned Paramhansa Yogananda and Swami Kriyananda, mm-hmm. she said to her agent, "Do you know who those people are?" And the agent said, "No, he had no idea." She said, "I do. I'm interested in this movie."
That's great. So she had a background. She knew. That's terrific. And you can tell, too.
It was God-inspired, really.
That's true. I agree. I so agree. Yeah. Asha, I always read studies before my shows to see if there's anything relevant that comes up. And this morning I was reading about a recent study that came out about making children happier. And I thought about you, and I thought about the movie as well. And according to this study taken of 320 children from 4 public schools and 2 faith-based schools, they rated their happiness.
Huh.
And they rated their spirituality, their temperaments, and all that. And what they found significantly was a huge margin of the children who reported being happier, you know, it was a self-report. They also took reports from parents who observed their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the most important factor in their happiness in this study was their sense of personal worth taken mm-hmm. from their spiritual beliefs. Not religious, not, you know, they, and yeah, there were some kids from religious schools, but it's who are you in this world? What is your connection to others? How do you love other people? What have you been taught to think about the higher power out there and how you can contribute in this world? Yes.
That's very interesting, Michelle.
Great study.
We have, from the beginning, from 40 years ago, mm-hmm. we've been educating children in our schools, mm-hmm. and we've been developing our own schools. Now we have private schools that actually serve way beyond our communities, all the way through the college level.
Yeah, you do.
And our schools we call Education for Life, and
yes.
you can look that up. It's its own website, mm-hmm. Education for Life. Michelle, let me just address really directly what you said.
Yeah.
What is happening, well, we need hours to go through this.
We
but
do.
What is happening in education today is that it has been systematically stripped of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the only meaning that's left is financial gain.
Right.
And that's not enough meaning for people to live by.
Yes.
But people break down because they don't understand that you can be spiritual without being religious. That's the obstacle we're always meeting.
Sure.
Children are very naturally spiritual. They naturally feel themselves to be connected with the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they naturally feel a sense of, you know, the greater flow of energy and the deeper meaning and the search for happiness is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And our educational system these days, instead of building upon that basis, systematically strips the children of
mm-hmm.
it by completely externalizing their values. And even when they try to teach the children self-worth,
mm-hmm.
the self-worth is based on external accomplishments.
Yes.
I play the guitar. I'm
sure.
a good soccer player. I get A's in all my classes.
Right.
I'm the student body president. But if any adult stops and thinks,
yeah.
about the degree to which their self-worth is based on the external picture they present to the world,
yep.
they know from their own experience that that is a recipe for absolute insecurity.
Sure.
What our educational system teaches children is to be in command of their own willpower and their own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in the film, one of the teachers now in our school was also a student in our school. She was educated through Education for Life and
right.
has now come back to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And speaking of herself and all her classmates, she says, what characterizes us is a belief that through our own, the exercise of willpower, of concentrated attention, of courage in the face of obstacles, we can manifest whatever it is that's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wide range of activities. But we teach the children to have self-mastery.
Right.
And have their confidence be from the energy that they have within them.
Right.
And then only secondarily from what they use that energy for to accomplish with.
Right.
And that's the only basis for self-confidence, really, that will not
yes.
desert you.
Well, you know, it's so true. In so many psychological studies, too, you read about children and their mental health and their happiness.
Uh-huh.
You know, so much of it depends on their strong sense of personal worth and
yeah,
how they feel safe and how they feel, you know, loved and
right.
How they can love themselves. That in turn is how they can love and appreciate life and others and their families. And of course, we all go through phases and thoughts and hormonal
right.
levels and all that. But
yeah, all of that.
I
but
think
self-mastery,
that,
yeah. self-mastery is the enduring.
Right.
Being able to work with yourself and your own energies. Our Education for Life system, I have to say, Michelle, I think is the most important thing that Ananda has developed, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
I think education
terrific.
Is in so much trouble right now. I just, every time a child comes to be educated in one of our schools, I just cheer for the whole planet, really.
Yeah, the way you explain it and watching the students and all of the activities they participate in, they're really bright kids. Whatever they learn is presented to them, you know, not in such a stressful way. It's sort of, what is your passion? What would you like to explore? It's a very, I hate to say Montessori. I hate to put, you know, like labels on it. But it is, you know, sort of finding the child's, orientation to learning in their creative process, too, which is amazing.
But it honestly, even though there are many good systems,
sure.
ours goes a little bit beyond it because
yes.
we have this expansive spiritual dimension.
Oh, yeah.
This spiritual yeah. non-religious,
right.
which gives a child a source
yes.
of energy
yes.
that is fundamental to human happiness.
Boy, is it ever, Asha. It's a profound anchor for for human beings, yeah. I think. Well, yeah. Listen, we're just about running out of time here. And how can listeners, again, get more information about seeing the film? Because it really is a very helpful film, and learning how we can all use the tools to find more happiness in the Ananda community.
Well, you can go to Ananda itself, A-N-A-N-D-A, ananda.org. Mm-hmm. My name is Asha, and A-S-H-A. My last name is Praver. It's like prayer, but with a V. Mm-hmm. Asha Praver. That also, just Google my name and you'll find. And yes. Then the movie itself is findinghappinessthemovie.com. And that'll lead you right to everything.
Terrific. And that'll be up in the archives if you have any more information. Folks, if you just tuned in a little late and you said, wait, I want to find more happiness. So you can just come on up to my webpage here and I'll have all that information for you on latalkradio.com. All right. Thank you so much for being on, Asha. It's been such a pleasure to have you. And I loved you in the movie. You are just, what a wonderful person you are.
Oh, Michelle, that's so kind of you. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. I hope it's a benefit to those who are listening.
Oh, yeah. I think it will be. I always love to feature people who can change others' lives in a positive way, and you guys have done this in the film. So
very good. That's our goal. I'm so glad to hear you feel we've succeeded.
You sure did. All right. Thank you so much, Asha. Take good care, and keep in touch.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
You too now. Bye-bye. All right. Again, my special guest, Asha, and she's working with the Ananda community, which is all about sort of adopting some of those practical lessons taught by Paramahansa Yogananda. No, it's not a religion. It's not that you have to meditate and say om for hours. It's a way of living. It's a way of thinking. You know me, guys. I'm very much into tuning into yourself and trying to love others. Just be a kind person. You know? All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I will be back next week. We're going to find out how to manage stress and panic disorder with an expert who wrote a book all about you taking control over your fears. It's a good one, I'm telling you. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others, and that's the way it works in the world. This is Dr. Michelle. You can stay on the couch if you like here on LA Talk Radio.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. What's up?